Shores, El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
And welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they, unfortunately, cannot, so we have to go there for them. Welcome to the program. It is a speedball of sometimes very serious hillbilly humor, and by hillbilly, what I'm saying really is that it is top-of-the-line, high-level intellectual satire. On the show tonight, we're going to be talking with Rick Shadova, who will be discussing with us the latest Supreme Court ruling on immigration. We have Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills to discuss tipping waitresses. One waitress in particular doesn't work for Ted, but this woman went on her Facebook page and said that if she doesn't get tipped well, she's going to spit in people's food, and she lost her job. Don't forget, we're online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. And why do I mention that to you? Because with a backstage pass, you can see all the fantastic live streaming video of our show, Phil TV and HD, which we have every night. You can also access thousands of hours of archived material. You can also access thousands of hours of miscellaneous video, archived material, television pilots, television interviews, interviews of all kinds. It's all there on the Phil Hendry website. When I say thousands of hours, I mean over a decade. And while you're there, click on our podcast banner. That'll take you to episode 11. Episode 11 of the free Phil Hendry podcast. So if you don't yet have a backstage pass, you want to hear a little bit of what we do, check out the free Phil Hendry podcast. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Joining me is Rick Shadova from Tucson, Arizona tonight. And we're going to talk with Rick because he's a listener of ours. He listens to The Jolt in Tucson and is also in a state that has obviously been very, very concerned with illegal immigration. Now, Rick, how are you tonight?
I'm good, Phil. Thanks for having me on this program this evening.
And what do you do for a living?
I'm a machinist. I own a machine shop.
You own a machine shop in Tucson?
That is correct, yes.
And tell me your stand on the illegal immigrant question or on the immigration question. We know that the Supreme Court ruled sort of in a divided ruling. They struck down a lot of the provisions of the Arizona immigrant bill, or the Arizona immigrant law, I should say, but also upheld a police officer's right to ask somebody for their immigration papers or status. What's your, as a citizen of Arizona, what's your take on that?
Right. I think my first feeling on this is that it's probably not a very common opinion that that I've got, you know, about this. I know most of the people in my state are very much, in favor of SB 107, but I have never been. And that is because I think that when you look at America, it's a country that is built on immigration. And I think that to be hostile to immigrants, I think is wrong. And I don't think it's the American way, you know.
I understand that, but there's a lot of questions about illegal immigration and how people get into this country. And so much of what the Arizona legislation, the Arizona bill, the Arizona law is about, is trying to stem that tide.
All right. But if you think about it, you know, there's no real, you know, if America is built on immigration and America is built on the rights of immigrants, you know, then there's no real illegal immigrants. There's just people, I think, that want you to be here, you know.
You don't think there's illegal immigrants in America?
Well, I mean, if you think about it, you know, think about what America stands for, and think about what America has always stood for, is about the freedom of people around the world, you know. But
we have laws, and of course Arizona is a great example of, the contention that there is.
Right. I understand the contention about the immigration question, but I don't think that people are being smart about it. I mean, if you think about it, do you really think that there's such a thing as illegal immigration when a country is as wonderful as America? You know, I'm an immigrant myself. I'm from the Republic of Ireland. I was born in County Meath. I came here at a time when the economy in Ireland was not as good as it is today, and of course it's up and down, but I came to America for a fresh start, and I'm very grateful for that.
You came here legally, didn't you?
Well, I came here. Originally, I did not come here legally, but I did go back and establish my. Got a visa. I had to come to America through Mexico because I didn't have a visa.
So you were working here in the United States illegally?
Yes, I was for quite some time. But I, you know, I had to do that because I wasn't sure how this country is going to treat me. And I didn't know that, you know, whether it was a place I wanted to live. And I think a lot of immigrants come here not really sure if this is the place for them or not. You know, they've heard so much about America. And of course, I heard so much about America all of my life. When I came here, like a lot of immigrants, I wasn't sure whether I would like this place or not, you know. And so that's when I decided, all right, I'm going to give it a go, you know, and I...
So you came here illegally, Rick, and stayed here for how long?
I was here probably about 10 years illegally, you know, because
you were 10 years.
Yes, sir, and off and on, you know. But like I said, I came back into the country of through Mexico by way of just as a border tourist, you know, and. But once I was pretty sure that America was the place for me, that I went back to Ireland and applied for a green card, you know, and I came back to the United States and made a go of it here, and I've got a good business now, you know.
Let me ask you something. Our number, by the way, folks, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We just have a one of our listeners on the Jolt in Tucson, Rick Shadova. He is, you're from Ireland.
Yes, sir. I'm from the Republic of Ireland.
Yeah, and you're not from Northern Ireland, I know. You're from Ireland, and from that country you came here first illegally. Now, I want to ask you this question because of what you said, obviously, is going to pique the interest of a lot of people. Immigrants are here to try the country out.
Yeah, it's a concept I don't think, it might be a difficult concept to get at first blush, because obviously you try a lot of things out. If you're going to try out a product, I don't know, you know, it could be anything, but it's probably not quite understandable or applicable, I guess, when it comes to a country. But America is such a popular place. America is such a beloved place to people everywhere, or at least it's a place that's interesting to a lot of people, you know, that they have to come here and live here for a while and try the feel of the country, you know, almost like you're trying on a coat or something, and see whether or not this is a place that you're going to be happy. And you don't want to come here going through a lot of legal steps that are going to be very involved, may cost you a lot of money, and you might not be successful in obtaining entrance into the country anyway. It's better to come and to get a feel of the country, and then you come back to America, and
then you come back to America legally. See, here's the thing. So what you want me to understand, I guess, is that people come here illegally in many ways to try the place out.
That's it, Phil. I think it's a very simple way of saying it, but I think it's true, you know. And I know that probably as hard as that is to understand for some people, I think Americans are... Noted, good consumers, and it's a kind of a simple way of looking at this, you know, to say, well, it's a consumer issue. But,
well, I mean, it's a lot more than a consumer issue, because we have so many people that come here illegally. Then you have the discussion of crime, and a lot of people want us to believe that a lot of that crime is the result of illegal immigrants.
Well, that's just people being stupid, isn't it, though? You know,
it's what?
I said it's just people being stupid, though, isn't it? Because if you look at the statistics and so forth, illegal immigrants committed that much crime.
All right, going back to your original point, then we're going to take a break. Our number 877-876-PHIL here with Rick Shadova. Your original point was there's no such thing as illegal immigration.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
What? And again, give that to me again.
I think in the case of America, not maybe any other country, I can't name any other country, but I think in the case of America, you know, it's a country that... It doesn't have illegal immigrants. It's got people that want to be here, you know.
And you don't think that our laws, if someone comes in violation of our laws, whether it's a state law or federal law, that's an illegal immigrant?
Not if you really think about it, you know. I mean, think about it. You know, that you've got to just be honest with yourself. You know,
what does that mean, be honest with myself? We have laws federally.
You know, just if you think about it, it's not, there are really no illegal immigrants. You know?
No, we have law. We have federal laws. We have state laws opposing illegal immigration. And some people come here in violation of those laws. You don't think those are illegal immigrants?
Not if you think about it, because look at it the way that an immigrant looks at it. But just look at it logically. There's really no illegal immigrants. There's just a lot of people that are here that want to be here that haven't yet filled out the paperwork, if you want to say it. And then there are people that are here that have filled out the paperwork, you know. But I think if you're honest with yourself, if you think about it.
I'm being honest with myself.
I don't think entirely. I don't think you're entirely being honest with yourself. If you're honest with yourself, you know that there's no real illegal immigrants. There's just people that, have done all that paperwork, you know.
No, I do believe there's illegal immigrants.
Think about it.
Well, I'm thinking, all right, let me take a break. Think about it. What's to think about? There's illegal immigrants. It's one of the reasons why we've got this problem here in Arizona and elsewhere. 877-876-PHIL is the number here. Rick Shadova with us. We're talking about illegal immigration. We're talking about it from the standpoint of one of our listeners who's an immigrant from Ireland. He lives in the Tucson, Arizona area right now and is gainfully employed and is legal, but at one time was not. 877-876-PHIL. It's the world famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. On the line with me is Rick Shadova in Tucson, Arizona. Rick is a citizen of Arizona, and it doesn't mean that we're precluding the conversation from reaching people all over the country, but Arizona's law is what was being argued in the Supreme Court. And Rick, the last we talked, you know, obviously you have a slightly different view from most people in Arizona. You are not in favor of this law, correct?
No, I have not. I don't think I've ever been in favor of any law that restricts the immigration to America. You know, you have to understand, you know, this is a country that has got the Statue of Liberty, you know, and so how can you say there's illegal immigration? You know,
there's illegal immigration because of the laws that are in place.
No, I understand about the laws. I know that there's laws, but, these laws are, I think, put there for a lot of people that don't want to have no immigrants around. But if you think long and hard about it, and I think if you, you know, like I've got my own business here, you know.
That do you hire illegals in your business?
I mean, I hire people. I don't know if they're illegal or not, but I hire some good people, good machinists, and my philosophy is there's no real illegal immigrants. There's no real illegal immigrants. There's just people who have minds that I don't mean to be rude, but there's no illegal immigrants. There's just people whose minds should be maybe made illegal, you know, the way they think and their prejudices.
All right, 877-876-7445 is the number here on the Phil Henry Show. Let's go to a phone call here on the line, and we have Ross. Go ahead, Ross. You're on with Rick Shadova. Go ahead.
How you doing, gentlemen?
Good, sir.
Basically, my comment is a sanctioned body of individuals who represent our country, represent us as American citizens, put forth a law that sets a process for individuals to enter the country. If you do not follow that process, you are in violation of that law, which is illegal. These are facts. The gentleman's thinking theory and you know, theory is, mm-hmm. you know, each individual's right, but mm-hmm. when a sanctioned group of individuals who represent a country put forth a law that it sets forth a process that is required for people to live in our country long-term or permanent legally, that's a law. I mean, yeah, you can go theoretical and say, well, you got the Statue of Liberty. Your country stands for freedom. Your country stands for nation for one and all, which is all that's true. But we elect certain people to represent us as our government. They set forth laws for us as a society and citizens to adhere to.
Well, what if they make a mistake? What if they make a mistake, though? You know,
what does that mean? What if
they
make
a
mistake?
If they make a mistake, they change the laws. It's amended. But the laws, and that's exactly what they're trying to do in Arizona. You know,
right.
The governor of Arizona thought there was a mistake in the federal law. So what did she do? She made adjustments to her state's laws. You know, that is what is they make a mistake. Laws
what
are meant to be adhered to. It is a societal thing. It's societal.
She made a mistake.
What do you mean if she made a mistake?
Right.
Society would, you know, it's like saying, well,
murder. I'm not saying no murder. You know, I know those laws are important, but, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, how can you say there's illegal immigrants, you know? Because we're all here, you know. And
because there are.
You know,
that's like saying, how can you say there's illegal
murderers? We're doing our thing.
How
right.
can you say
exactly.
there's illegal murderers?
Well, no, but I mean, murder, you know, murder is, we all agree is.
It's a law.
You have to
a
stop.
Law is a law.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Where you. That's the separation you're having.
Yes,
a law is a law, and a theory
right.
Based upon, you know, the Statue of Liberty and the land of the free. Yeah,
well,
that's
like,
true and all, but that's not law. Now,
like,
the way you
speeding,
enter this
you know?
Country is a law. When you go to the airport, there's a reason
what
they check your credentials.
What about
there's
speeding?
There's a reason
you
they
know?
Check your credentials at the airport and the border.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's been laws right. established by the people who represent us as citizens. For people
yeah.
to join us yeah. as citizens in a legal way.
But, I mean, if
there's
you think
laws.
About...
There's no ifs, ands, or
illegal.
Buts. They're laws. And if you break any law that has been written, it's illegal. That is an illegal
what about,
act. Any law.
What about jaywalking? How about jaywalking?
That?
You know?
That's
a,
what do you mean jaywalking? You mentioned
jaywalking
and you mentioned...
Yeah. See, they don't tell you. You can jaywalk all you want, though. You know? That's
yeah, you
I mean.
Can. And you know what?
Yeah.
Some laws are enforced, and some laws are not enforced. That's just the way it is. Some laws
well,
are enforced more vigorously than others.
I think
others.
It's like jaywalking,
that
you know?
Is. But when you
but
jaywalk,
I mean, I
you're still breaking a law. It's just the
but
fact.
Don't you think, but don't you think, sir, that, you know, the immigration, illegal immigration like jaywalking, you know, a lot of people do
no,
it.
No, completely different.
And
completely different,
and
because illegal immigration has impact on our society. It has impact on our crime levels. It has impact on our, you know, many different
like,
aspects of our financial situation.
Don't put money
in
the parking meter, you know. If you don't put money in the parking meter.
Yeah,
you're coming up with all these
you're
coming up with a lot of
know,
examples.
Anytime
you, know?
You do
yeah.
anything that
cares.
Is against the law, you're illegal.
Exactly. So what is your point, Rick?
Be it jaywalking, be it murder, be it if you're in Singapore, you throw gum on the sidewalk, guess what? You just broke their law. I find that to be
care.
A frivolous, ridiculous law, but guess what? I won't be throwing gum on the sidewalk in Singapore.
Well, I don't think I'll ever be in Singapore, you know. I hope
well,
not because
point
I don't
is
think...
laws are laws, and they're meant to be adhered. So...
Yeah.
You,
adhere to, yeah.
There's no illegal aliens. That's your theory, and that's all that.
But
is.
That's
strictly
that's like,
a theory.
That's like it's like if you say there's the illegal aliens, you know. I mean, I hear I've got my machine shop here, you know, and we do. I'm probably the best machinist in Tucson, you know, because of the experience I had working on machinery and this and that in Ireland. Maybe they're illegal and maybe they're not, and like, who cares, you know?
You've got this crazy fair attitude, you know,
you
about
might
this.
Want to be careful what you say because you're, you know, what if they come to your establishment and check the records on your employees and find you're riddled with illegals? Then you're in violation.
Well, I mean, I don't think they do that.
That is a
because
total possibility.
Have,
if you don't check
I
the credentials
be able to...
of the people you're hire, you are in violation.
No, but if you think about it, seriously, they're not going to do that, you know, because...
Okay.
A lot of orders,
all right.
A lot of business.
Okay, listen, thank you very much for your call. Ross, got to move on here. 877-876-PHIL. This is Ross as we talk here about illegal immigration. And on the line with me is Rick Sadova from Tucson. And I'm not really sure, just like the preceding caller, Rick Sadova, he's saying if you think about it, there's no real illegal immigrants. That's Rick's point of view. 877-876-7445. 877-876-7445. That's Phil. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back with more. And philhendryshow.com. Check us out over there, too, our Phil TV at HD.
Think about it, you know, if I come here illegally, I guess, but I'm still here, you know, and that way I'm an American.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL is the number here. Welcome back this Monday night. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're talking about the Arizona immigration law, which has been under review by the state Supreme Court. On the line with me from Tucson is one of our listeners on our local affiliate there in Tucson, KJLL The Jolt, and that is Rick Shadova. And Rick, you know, it's interesting. I don't think we actually selected you because you're an immigrant to this country. I think it was because you're a listener to our show. But you were saying that the immigration law in America is one that, yeah, we have it, but it's kind of like jaywalking and it's kind of like speeding, and so therefore shouldn't be enforced. And I think the last caller made it very clear. They are laws. They do need to be enforced. That they are not enforced has more to do with a sort of a selective reasoning, I guess, or of law enforcement, or the fact that we don't have the manpower.
Okay, you know, Phil, that's a good excuse, I guess. I don't mean to say, you know, that you're not being honest, but look at the laws.
But it's true. These are laws that are on the books.
Yeah, and the immigration laws on the books too, but. How important, is this immigration law when you look at, how much they are going to enforce, you know, if you don't put money in a meter. And I work close to downtown, and sometimes I'm in and out of some of the businesses there, and a lot of times I don't even put money in the meter, you know, and a lot of times I come out and my car doesn't have a ticket, you know. I do tend to drive a little fast on the freeways because of the fact that I come from Europe, we're used to a little more of a freewheeling way on the roads, I guess. I'm not saying it's the safest thing, but regularly I probably drive about 90, 95 miles an hour, sometimes 100 miles an hour if I'm up on the interstate, because this part of Arizona is, you know, very lightly traveled.
So what you're telling me is you're constantly breaking laws.
I'm constantly breaking laws, but they're not laws that anyone's going to, get crazy about. And I'm just saying, if you think about America as a country of immigrants, why are they going to get crazy about the, these immigration laws? Like I can jaywalk, and I do a lot of jaywalking, you know. And so I think that people are not using their common sense. Just use your common sense.
And I'm using my common sense, and here's what my common sense tells me. A law is on the books. It needs to be enforced. The jaywalking law is there so people are not hit by cars and killed. The speeding law is there so individuals are not driving so fast they are reckless and endanger the lives of others.
Hold on, because the jaywalking law is not going to save whose life is it? If that guy gets run over, who cares, you know?
Well, but even someone jaywalking, hit by another automobile, causes that automobile to go out of control and could endanger the lives of other people. The parking meter laws are there. You have to put the coin in because you're taking up valuable parking space while other people are looking for a place to park. You have a certain amount of time. You want to buy more time, you got to put in the coins. That's just the way it is, okay? 877-876-PHIL. And on the line with me again is Rick Shadova from Tucson, Arizona. Let's get a phone call here. And again, we're talking about the Arizona immigration law. Here is Jose. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Phil.
Good morning. Yes, sir.
I'm from New York, and I'm a legal immigrant. Actually, I've been living here almost like 22 years in the States.
So you're illegal or legal?
Legal.
Okay.
Okay.
I came here illegally first. Did you come here illegally first?
No, I came here legally.
The first time, though, that you came here. How did you know you were going to like it here? I mean, why did you
I'm sorry, say what?
How did you know you were even going to like it here? Why didn't you come here and try it out first, you know.
Whether I'm liking it or not, whether I would settle down here or not, that's the question. And I think I came through legal process and I became a legal citizen. But I think what you're telling, actually, you're telling the emotional side of the story, actually, that, you know, if you like it, you will stay no matter what the law or not. But that's not how this country is being seen by the people who are living here, actually, you know. This country was not the country for you and me in the first place, or not even for the people who are claiming to be the American in the first place. This country belonged to Indians. So if we see that way, basically everybody in this country is illegal. If you go through
that's
that
a good point. That's
you know, if you
point.
See I that like way, then yes, you have to make that clear.
Yes.
But you're pointing out that, you know,
sexual liberty
is here,
you know?
And all sorts of things are here, and that's why it should be legal.
But look at how stupid
legal
this is, you know.
Whether we could be legal or not. And Phil, I think there is also one part of the thing that is, coming here illegally is not an illegal thing in this country, but coming here illegally and staying illegal is a problem in this country. You could come here illegally, but that doesn't mean you're breaking a law. You're breaking a law once you're
If you come here illegally, but however, if you come here illegally and they find out, then you can be turned right around
that's
and sent
saying,
back. In other words,
for instance,
hold on. It may not be breaking the law, but if you walk into the country and they say, oh, guess what? You just came through our border thing and you're here illegally, goodbye. We've seen this happen with stowaways.
They have the prerogative. Yes, you're right about that. That's what my
that's
point
right.
is. But you cannot stay
that's
here
immoral.
Long.
But to me, that's immoral, you know, Phil, because I'll tell you why.
Why is that immoral?
It's immoral because if you look at the reality of the country, like the man said, the first people was Indians. Weren't they? And everybody else here is illegal, you know. And so,
Come on, will you? I mean, we have this.
Phil, my point was not being like, okay, everybody's illegal now. You know, that was back when civilization was getting established in this country. You know, there's rules and regulations after that, and even though you come here as illegal, but you have to establish yourself as a legal representative of this country. You just cannot be illegal walking around doing whatever you want, you know? The civil society doesn't work like that way.
That's not right to do, though. You should be able to come here and just put down your roots and prove yourself, you know? And
not even have to show a passport, nothing.
Why? You know, so
that's
said,
completely
you know?
Wrong. I don't support that, actually, Phil.
What do you mean?
Well, no, but this other gentleman, Rick, you do?
I thought that this gentleman made a very good point, you know, and he said that, you know, the Indians was here and all the rest of us is illegal, you know. And now,
no, but the process has been, it was there when the Indians were ruling the country, but after that we have established a civic society. There's rules and regulations that how we abide by. A civic society doesn't apply non-illegal things. It applies things that works for the society and the betterment of everybody, you and me.
That's kind of dumb, you know.
What's dumb?
Well, it's kind of dumb, you know, if you say to someone, welcome to America, and there's the Statue of Liberty and all of this, you know, and then the next thing you know, he's telling you, you know, what, don't want your doors closed. That's stupid, you know. I think if you think about it, everybody would say that's stupid.
Well, I just don't agree with that, and I know that this gentleman, I'm not sure exactly
either,
where you're
Phil.
Coming from.
Phil, I think that's
you
the
don't?
Moral part of your guest is telling, you know, that's understandable. You
no,
know,
no, you see, sir, I think you originally came on to support me, and now Mr. Henry's changed your mind or something because...
No, not really. It's not that I'm supporting you or not supporting you. I'm supporting because I'm thinking about straight faith, you know, like it's legal.
What do you think about stowaways? Like, if a man came in as a stowaway, what do you think should happen to that man? I think he should be just let into the country.
What?
Listen,
what? Why would you let a...
staying here, then you're breaking a law. There's a rule.
What if the guy's a stowaway and he has bubonic plague?
Oh, that's like that movie Panic in the Streets. That's not going to...
Well, it might be like the movie Panic in the Streets. What if you got an illegal stowaway who has got bubonic plague or some disease?
See, that's perpetrating a stereotype, though, you know, that all the immigrants smell bad and they got disease, you know. That's wrong.
Okay. You know, anyway, Jose, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to another phone call here. We got Jason. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show, Jason.
Yes. I'd just like to ask you, Mr. Chinova. I'd just like to ask.
Yes, sir.
What would they do if we went to their country? What would they do to us if we were coming in illegally or not supposed to be there?
Well, they probably say that, you know, you come from America. You've got everything you need in America. What are you doing here? You know, get out of here.
Okay,
get out,
so
you know, or put you in prison.
Okay, so you just admitted my point. So if you come here, why don't you just go ahead and get your legal right instead of coming over here illegally? Because if you come over here legal, you don't have nothing to worry about. But why come out here and try it out illegally?
Right.
You know, to try it out, as you just said, it's better over here than over there.
Well, see, here's the deal, you know. If I come to America, nobody in America is going to say to me, you know, Rick, why don't you go back to Ireland? It's so much better there. Because everyone in America knows that Ireland is it's a crap hole, you know. If you're American, you go to Ireland, and they say, why do you come here? Because America is so much better than Ireland. And they'll kick you out or put you in prison.
Wait a minute. You see, again, this is the emotional thing. You're telling me that because we're Americans, if we try to illegally get into Ireland, we'll be thrown in prison because we come from a country.
You come from a country that has a lot, all right? And if I come to America, no one in America is going to say, go back to Ireland because your country's so great, because everyone knows Ireland's a toilet, you know? So that's what I mean. That's what I'm trying to say to people. They don't understand, you know. It's a difficult concept, but it's one that I think, if you think about it.
No, it doesn't make any sense. And nobody bases your immigration status in this country on whether you come from a crap hole.
Well, but what about the political immigrants and that kind of thing? You know, they come from, like, Cuba. You say they come from a crap can like Cuba, let them come in. But if they come from a great place like, you know, I don't know, England, you know, or someplace like that, well, then you can't. And I think that's stupid.
But we welcome everybody in with open arms. You know, to where you should come in and be able to start your life over. Why can't other countries treat us with the same respect?
Well, because you've already got a great country, sir, don't you? You've got a country that you already have. It's a great country, America. And
but
so
other countries are great, too, so why couldn't we go to other countries? You get what I'm saying?
Name one.
Ireland's a nice country. Canada's a nice country.
Ireland's a hellhole. Ireland's a hellhole.
Ireland's where my ancestors came from, and they're not hellholes. They are definitely, they're good individuals.
Well, that might be, but guess what? Your ancestors didn't stay there now, did they? And they come over here, you know why? Because
Ireland's a
hellhole.
Everybody loves
it's
to
a
drink,
dirty.
Ireland's the drinking capital of the world.
If you're an alcoholic and a drunk, then I say go to Ireland. But if you want to have a good life, then you don't want to live there.
So what is so bad about
ancestors? Your ancestors are a lot smarter than you, sir.
All right.
Why? What's so bad about Ireland?
All right. Anyway, we're not going to start debating the relative merits of Ireland, you know.
Well, Ireland's just the toilet. You said your ancestors come from Ireland, sir?
Yes, because they were seeking better work. They never said nothing
exactly
was wrong with the country. They were seeking better work.
But let me ask you something. Are you as smart as them, sir?
Yes, I'm very smart.
You are? Then why would
yes
you be asking what's wrong with Ireland? They left Ireland, and you're not wondering why they're leaving Ireland. You're asking me about why I think Ireland's a toilet bowl. It sounds to me I'd like to meet your ancestors, sir, but you got a lot to learn, sir.
All right.
Anyway,
okay. We're not here to debate the merits of Ireland. You know, we're here to debate the merits of the immigration law, okay, and whether or not the immigration law is a viable law. This gentleman, Rick Shadova, talking about, America, a land of immigrants, and a place where we don't have illegal immigrants, regardless.
I mean, if you think about that last guy, Mr. Henry, he's talking about Ireland. Is it what's wrong with Ireland? Is Ireland a toilet bowl?
But he was trying to, he said, why can't I go to Ireland?
He can go to Ireland if he wants to. Go to Ireland and he can live there. He can live there in his own waste if he wants to. You know, if you go to Ireland, Mr.
Nobody's talking about going to Ireland and living in their own waste, you know?
That's exactly what you'd be doing if you go to Ireland. And you talk to that man, and what he's going to do is he's going to immigrate to Ireland, and he's going to be living in a pit of his own filth after about 6 months. I can guarantee you that.
All right, hold the line here, Rick. Rick Shadova with us, an Irish immigrant here in the United States. You know, I got to tell you, it's refreshing hearing from an immigrant other than, shall we say, one from Latin America or the Middle East or, you know, a third world part of the world. We're listening to a man here from Ireland, but he's making the place sound like it's third world. 87 live in a pit of your own filth. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Will be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
you now. You think that I'm kidding you. I'm not kidding at all.
Famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL, and we're on here with Rick Shadova from the Republic of Ireland. This is a gentleman who is an immigrant to this country and is in favor of, is actually, you're more an immigrant rights guy. You were opposed to the Arizona bill, Rick. You've been talking, as a lot of people have been saying, a lot of theory here about how you don't believe, you know, America is anything other than a country of immigrants, and so therefore anti-immigrant law, or I shouldn't call it anti-immigrant, laws that restrict immigration, laws that that establish a legal standard for immigration, these laws are not laws that should be in existence. Now, what you said further was very interesting. When that gentleman asked you, how come people in America, you know, what would people think of a people in America going to their country illegally, you say they would have a legitimate beef because America's better?
Like right now, you know, Mr. Henry, I'm in my business, and I'm, I've got my employees here, and everyone's working hard, we're making money, and we're turning out a good product, and I'm here legally, but I came here illegally. And lived here for 10 years illegally, you know. And that's because I wanted to try out and see whether America is a good country or not.
No, I understand that. But what about the reverse? If somebody wanted to go to Ireland?
If someone wants to go to Ireland from America, then they obviously are not very educated because it's a stupid thing to do, you know. You go to Ireland and you live a horrifying life in Ireland. You know, the poverty and all of the overpopulation. And
But wait, I thought Ireland was, Ireland has moved past all of those economic, all of that horrible economic devastation that was visited upon that country for so long as the result of centuries of opposition to British rule and then finally getting their independence and having to muck their way through all of that stuff. I thought Ireland has become a very productive and economically successful country.
Well, that's what you hear, and I think in some parts of the country it might be true, but you still, on any given day in Ireland, you're going to see women walking down the street. You've got a lot of babies and a lot of alcoholics, and that man made the point about drinking. I think if you're an American, you like to drink.
Huh? No, I think you're giving a stereotype here of Ireland that isn't true.
Well, I don't... Where I come from, that's the way it was, you know. And like the man said, you know, a lot of people like to drink in Ireland. That's right. If you're American, like to drink, I go to Ireland.
877-876-PHIL. I don't know. To me, what you're saying is not true. It's a stereotype. It's one that has been, you know, it's one that's been promoted for a long time. Here's Chris on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, interesting side note to what I was going to say. I actually have a friend who would have been considered an illegal immigrant living in Ireland years ago, and he was greeted with nothing but, you know, warmth and affection from the people. He was given a job, you know, working illegally at a pub.
Interesting.
And he basically was over there visiting with friends, and then he was supposed to move on to England, where he got a job offer in the music industry. Whatever, decide to pass on an overstated visa.
Oh, sure, you're going to find, they're going to embrace you if you want to work in a pub, you know. They want to have someone in a pub, but treat you like a, you know, treat you, they're still going to treat you like a dog, you know. You have to live in a basement or something, and they can turn you in, you know.
Yeah. What do you mean treat you like a dog?
His situation might have been a little different, given that he had friends there, you know, already who were Irish, you know,
well, that's true, but those Irish people, sure, but Irish people turn on you, too. The minute you get there, they treat you like a dog, like an animal.
Wait a minute.
Well,
you know, we're going to discuss this.
World, but,
yeah, go ahead with your bigger point, Chris.
If you work at a pub, you know,
the bigger point that I wanted to bring
like
up
an animal.
Is, the, you know, what we were talking about just before the break about, you know, the illegal search and basically allowing the police to stop anyone that they could potentially suspect as being an immigrant, an illegal immigrant. And I think that's really dangerous. I think that sends us down a really dangerous road, and I don't think it's right. I think there should be. I personally think that our process of investigation, And the research that we put in, you know, whether it be federal or at the state level, is good that we've developed this process since the foundation of the FBI or the founding of the FBI. I think we've gotten really smart with it, and I think we can figure this out if we really want to ensure that, you know, illegal immigrants, you know, in that respect, aren't able to find employment or whatever.
That's right.
You know, then
I agree with that, Phil.
Then that's the way that that's the way that we really need to go about it. But
the problem with
this clause is, where does this stop? And how do they decide who is an illegal immigrant? And how does that not lead to racial profiling?
It turns into a police state, doesn't it?
I'm going to go off the wall, and I'm going to assume that you're white. So the chances, unless they hear your accent,
I'm not a white man. I'm a black man, which is what's going to keep me safe in this country, you see, because as a black man, they'll never think I'm Irish.
I think this is more, I think the American people, I wonder if illegal immigrants
and being
as
black,
an object.
Being black, I'm a lot safer than I would be being Irish. Being a white Irishman, I wouldn't, if I was America, I would not want them here. And I'll tell you why, Phil, because being white and being Irish.
All right, thank you very much.
But I wouldn't want to live here either. Oh, am I bad?
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch here. We go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And, you know, I tell you something. If we could do a serious talk show, I mean like a serious, serious talk show, this would be a bad time to do it.
What do you mean?
Because there's so much to talk about, and so few places that, I mean, really, you know, you could really get into some serious stuff like that immigration conversation we had. You could really talk to people seriously about it, but there's so much dumb stuff happening out there. I don't know whether or not, I don't know that we're any smarter, you know, but there is a lot of, you know, stuff.
But you have to talk about stuff like the way you do.
Yeah, okay, anyway.
Whatever.
Thank you. All right, let's get to Ted Bell. I'm sorry I brought it up. Ted's with us here from Ted's of Beverly Hills. We're going to talk about a story that I thought was fascinating about a waitress that wants to spit in people's food.
Wow.
Is that a Ted?
Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. The baseball season in full swing. We've got lots going on in our prime rib room. Of course, Mom and Dad and Grandma live in that prime rib that we have fresh cooked every Sunday night, slow roasted. That's exactly right here at Ted's of Beverly Hills.
All right, Ted, and welcome to the show. It's been a while since we've had you on for a segment.
Well, we're very happy to be a part of the program, Phil, as usual. And, of course, we are excited about the summer months are here. It's a great place to go with the family and have a steak and enjoy the delicious food here at Ted's of Beverly Hills. And I'll tell you something, our service is second to none. We are absolutely a family-oriented restaurant. It's a place where we, you know, love to have you bring the family.
Did you have a good Father's Day?
I had a great Father's Day in the restaurant. I had a great Father's Day, Phil. Thank you very much.
All right, the story here, and it's a fascinating story of, I think I said it. I think that Facebook is a great place because, if nothing else, it shows us just really how stupid some people are. And what they're willing to do to promote that stupidity, although that's not exactly what they're doing.
Hold on. I know the story you're talking about. Do you want to get into it now?
Let me first of all get everybody else up to speed.
All right.
And then, you know, I want you to give me your opinion on this. Now, listen to this, folks. This is a waitress. In the case of a California Chili's waitress, this is Chili's, Ted. It's not a restaurant that is a high-end steakhouse like yours, but nonetheless, it's a very well-known restaurant here in California. She's just been fired for posting an angry rant on her Facebook page. The incident began when this young woman was stiffed on a tip. She took to Facebook to let off some steam. She said in this rant on her Facebook page, She said, the next time you tip me $5 on a $138 bill, don't even bother coming in because I'll spit in your food and then in your effing face, you cheap bastards. Now, what did the manager say to all of this? Well, that's where the story gets complex. There's a Reddit thread that exploded with comments overnight in response to the claim that this lady got fired, apparently. She was fired because of these comments, and she, the thinking being that obviously... And you're the restaurateur, so you just tell me where I'm going wrong here. But the thinking being that they don't want somebody there issuing threats like that.
All right. Well, I do have an opinion. I understand people's concern. I understand the young lady going public like that and going as forcefully public like that as she could is going to cause people concern. You understand, though, Phil. That these waitresses and these waiters, they live on these tips. Now, we do pay minimum wage, but the fact of the matter remains that the tip is what constitutes, this is the lifeblood of any food server. It is as true at our restaurant, which is Ted's of Beverly Hills, which you're right, is a high-end steakhouse, as it is at Chili's, which is one of these mid-level sort of diners or restaurants.
Yes, it's not unlike a Denny's, right?
Well, I would just say not unlike a Denny's. Chili's probably considers themselves a cut above Denny's. I would too. Certainly none of them are as high end as ours. But here's my point. These waiters and these waitresses live on these tips. How do you ensure, if you're a waiter or a waitress, how can you ensure that you're going to be tipped properly?
Good service.
Not true. Not always. Not always. No. No, see, you just jumped in with good service because you think those are the magic words.
Well, I mean, obviously there's going to be people...
No, it's not. No, good service does not guarantee you a good tip. Good service is good service. And you can provide the best possible... I've got people that work for me, Phil, that have been with me for the last 10 years. They're food servers. They work in our lounge. They're fantastic people, and I will keep them on for as long as they want to be here. And I know there have been nights... that they have absolutely been stiff like you wouldn't believe. Like, I can tell you this right now, I saw a very well-known Hollywood actor, and I'm not going to give any names out here. I can give you initials.
Ted, you don't want to get yourself in trouble.
Well, BP, that's the only thing I'm going to say.
Don't even go there. All right, so it's a well-known Hollywood actor.
All right, well-known Hollywood actor. Who came in and dropped probably about five bills on the entire dinner. Well, $600, I think it was. Came to $600. They got a bottle of very expensive champagne. And I want to tell you this. The tip on that, and this is a conservative, the tip on that should be around $120, $130, maybe $100.50 if you're really... And he left a $50 tip. So, and this was one of my best servers. I put her on that table knowing that I wanted everything to be great. And we had actually two, three servers on that table. We had a captain over there. We had it all going on. All right. Now, she gets stiff. So what does she have to ensure that that won't happen again?
Well, she got stiff.
So hold on. What does she have to ensure that won't happen again? You don't want anybody... to say, I'm going to spit in your food. You don't want any server to say that. And yet, the average customer to any restaurant should be aware that the risk is real. And
What does that mean, I should be aware that the risk is real?
You've heard enough about it. You've heard people talking about it. You got this young lady on Facebook. You've seen... you know that some of these people are going to do something which we it's a proactive, if you want to call it that. It is insurance.
No, I don't know. You're talking about actually spitting in the food. You're talking about actually defiling or defouling the food in some way.
I didn't say that. What I said was, how do you ensure that you're going to be tipped?
All right, let me ask you this. Here was one of your best servers. Here was a guy with a lot of money. He came in. He stiffed her. Why wasn't he worried about her messing with his food?
I'll tell you what. Because this guy was a movie star, and he thought that his you-know-what doesn't spell. He thought he was better than that. And
so what is he supposed to think now when he comes in the next time that it's going to be?
Well, I don't know that an individual like that is ever really going to get the message. I think you have to, I think with someone like that, you have to be very clear. Now, I don't recommend that my food servers come up to someone and say, if you don't tip me well, I'm going to spit in your food. I mean, that's what this girl did on Facebook. I would fire her just as this company did. And yet I understand if there's a way that they can communicate that. Some people need to be reminded. And look at Phil, I don't endorse it.
Well, you're sort of walking a line here. You're sort of saying you don't endorse it, but at the same time, you understand.
No, I'm not doing any of that, Phil. I'm telling you that I simply know I know how these waiters and waitresses. Look, I started out as a food server when my father owned this place, all right? And believe me, it was the most disgusting period of my life. I spent 2 years as a working as a bartender and as a food server here at Ted's, and I can tell you this, and I'm not trying to be trivial, and I'm not trying to be funny. If there had been a pistol available to me at that time, I probably would have taken my own life.
And good. But this was when you were what?
When I just told you, when I was a food server, my father ran the restaurant. If I had found a gun somewhere, I would have blown my brains out. That's how vile and foul the experience was. And
what made it that way?
Just dealing with the customers. Dealing with the food. The food, the customers, the combination of all of it made me want to vomit. And cheap? You don't even know what cheap is. So when I took over the restaurant, I said, well, I want these people to be treated better. And I will tell you, Phil, that I don't want to see anyone spit in the food, but when our cocktail waitresses or our food servers are serving a table and they want to somehow get the message across, and a lot of them do it in different ways. They can cough a little bit. They can mention that they've got a cold. Something.
So, in other words, something that delivers the threat that some of that fluid is going to get into the food of the people. And that, I got to tell you something. I don't know how you could countenance that for a minute.
I am telling you, Phil, I know they're going to do it. I don't want them to do it. I know, but this is an unwritten code among waiters and waitresses. You don't understand. Have you ever been a food server?
No, I haven't.
Well, why doesn't that surprise me? I don't think you understand.
I've never been a food server. People in my family have. But they have, and I've never heard any of them say that this is insurance, the threat of spitting into someone's food to make sure that they get a good tip. Our number is 877. Hold on, Ted.
Well, there's a lot more.
Hold on. 877-876-PHIL. We're going to talk to Ted Bell some more about this woman who went on her Facebook page and threatened to spit in people's food if they didn't tip her better. And this is a kind of insurance as far as Ted Bell is concerned. You don't want to encourage it. You don't want to see it. You don't want your people talking about it. You would rather never have to deal with it. But it is a kind of insurance for food servers to get a good tip. We'll be right back. The world famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Famous Phil Henry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. We are here open every night. That's one thing people ask. Are you open 7 days a week? No, we are not. We're open 5 days a week. We're closed Monday and Tuesday. But it feels like it's 7 days a week sometimes, Phil, as hard as we work here at Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Well, that I like that. Now, that's a good advertising slogan.
What?
You should say, we're not open 7 days a week, but it feels like we are. That's how hard we work.
Well, I got to tell you, it's true. We work very hard to make sure that people enjoy the food and the service here at Ted's of Beverly Hills. And
all right, so if I'm a customer of yours, Ted, and I'm coming into your restaurant, and a waitress of yours is taking my order, and somehow she is going to give me the message that if you don't tip me well, Mr. Henry, I could spit in your food, and she's doing that by what, coughing?
Well, Phil, look, the reality is these waiters and waitresses work very hard. What? How do you ensure they're going to get a good tip?
You give good service.
And you know as well as I do, good service doesn't mean you're going to get a good tip any more, Phil, than being a good person in life means that people are going to treat you well. It just doesn't work out that way. So I say to my servers, you know what? I don't want to know. I don't want you doing anything, but I don't want to know. And so we hold the line. We will not. We don't want anybody doing anything, you know, bad.
But you don't want to know.
But I yes. And again, you don't understand.
But I'm getting back to my question.
All right.
If I am sitting there and I'm about to order a steak, and your waitress comes over, or your waiter, whoever the food server is, and they say to me, Mr. Henry, what's your order? And I said, boom, boom. And now how are they letting me know that they may spit in my food if I don't give them a good tip?
I don't know. That's up to them.
You gave examples.
Well, I mean, I know that they will. Some of them will cough and make comment that they had a chest cold. Something that gives an indication. And I know, Phil, that it's nothing that I think you should be proud of. I don't think any food server should be proud of it. But it's something that indicates that they're going to have to cough and maybe fluid.
You listening to yourself?
What does that mean?
What it means is you are tacitly approving of someone spitting in food to ensure.
No, I did not say that. I didn't. I said I am aware of the fact that they will indicate to the customer that they have got the ability or the willingness to. What's the term that the kids used to use? Hawk one up, okay?
Into my food.
I didn't say that they would.
Well, what I'm hearing here, Ted, is a guy who is, you know, you're really riding the fence on this.
In what way?
Well, in this way. You're saying to me, I don't approve of it, I don't like it, it's a reality, but these food servers, they work really hard, and how are they going to ensure that they get good tips? And it isn't good service, as I said to you, good service doesn't ensure tips. And by the way, I agree with that.
Oh, well, you agree with it now. All right, you're agreeing with it now that you've had a chance to think about it. See, I have to think on my feet with my job.
No, I understand that. I understand that. But the fact of the matter is, I do agree with that.
Yeah, you agree with it now. So where does that leave the food server? They need to be able to send the message very clearly, if I don't get a good tip, then your food, you know, is going to change somehow, or there will be an effect on it.
How are you going to ensure, how do you know whether you're going to get a good tip before you get the tip?
Well, first of all, you don't. That's why you send the message.
But I mean, how do you know that your message hasn't been sent?
Oh, there's plenty of ways of knowing whether you're going to get a good tip or not. Because first of all, you can go ahead and recognize certain cues in the person's behavior. Are they making eye contact? Are they complimenting you? Is the wife or any of the kids, if there are children or there is a wife there, are any of them making eye contact? Are they rude? Are they, in other words, sending the message very clearly, we won't be tipping you, or it won't be a very big tip?
You know, I've been known to tip really well, and I don't even say a word to the food server other than thank you very much, and do you want anything? No, I don't want anything else. That's it. That's all I say, and I'm involved in conversation.
Oh, you've been known, huh? Well, Mr. Henry, I'm sorry, we aren't all money bags. You know, and
I'm not trying to say that. I'm saying that I have been in restaurants where I haven't made eye contact or I haven't talked to the waiter at all.
And you think you left a good tip?
I know I left a good tip.
What do you leave?
I leave 20%.
All right. You know, cue the crickets. I don't. What do you want me to say to that?
Are you trying to tell me that's a cheap tip?
I'm saying it's a beginning. You think that 20%, Phil, at one time was a good tip.
Are you trying to tell me that 20% is not the standard?
At one time, the standard was 15%. You remember that?
Yes, I do. I remember when it was 10%.
Well, guess what? Times are changing. So when you say to me that you leave 20%, I have to tell you, and I tell anybody in your audience that's listening, oh, boy, I don't know where to begin. That's not even going to – that won't cut it. That's just not going to – 20%'s good, but it's not going to cut it. So how do you let people know you want a good tip? You have to do things. You cough, you say excuse me and you cough into a handkerchief, or you say excuse me and you spit into a napkin, and when people look at you shocked, as they will, you say to them, I'm sorry, but I have a chest cold. I'm sorry, but I have a sinus infection. I had one of our servers who was, I thought, very resourceful, and they never did anything. They never spit in food, but they used to say, I'm sorry, but I hope I don't have mono, or I hope I don't have, you know.
So in other words, you're just scaring the living hell out of the people at the table.
No, you're not. You're sending a message, Phil, and you're hopefully the message is going to be this, that I am expecting a really good tip, and I am hopeful that you like the service that I'm providing you. But, you know, right now I feel like I've got pneumonia coming on. Anything that will send that message.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number, and it would surprise you, Ted, we'll be right back with Ted Bell, that I've never, ever had a food server do that. I've never had anybody serving food coughing into a handkerchief or hocking up into a napkin or spitting anything like that. I've never had anyone like that serving me my dinner or any other meal at any kind of a restaurant. So this must be a recent thing. We're talking about a woman, a food server at Chili's restaurant in California, who was so upset with a lousy tip that she went on her Facebook page and she went on a rant saying, the next time you tip me, you know, lousy, I'm going to spit in your food. She was fired, and obviously it did create a little bit of controversy there on the site and other places like Reddit, but she was canned, and in my opinion, good move. 877-876-7445 is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Come to Ted's, your food is treated as if I'm serving it to my own family. And we're talking theoretically here.
Exactly. But you are also talking about your waitresses and your food servers at your restaurant.
Yeah, but I don't want anybody, if the message is getting out there that when you come to Ted's in Beverly Hills, you are going to be coming into a restaurant where the waiters and the waitresses do not take absolute care of the food that they're about to serve you, and if the message is otherwise getting out that at my restaurant, people are, as you put it, Phil, defiling or defouling the, you know, I don't think you can defile food because you defile something that is a religious, symbol. And I like the food at our restaurant.
No, I understand. I might have used the wrong word.
All right. But the point is, I can assure you, I don't know anything about anybody doing anything to food at our restaurant. Now, you want me to say to you absolutely no? The waiters and waitresses don't spit into your food. There isn't a restaurant owner in America that can make that claim. And
oh, you got to be kidding me, Ted. That's not a very good way of promoting your business.
I beg your pardon, Mr. Henry. I think I'm capable of promoting my own business.
But, I mean, are you trying to say to me that this is just a standard thing that is going to happen?
I didn't say standard. I said if you want me to come out and say no waiter or waitress at Ted's of Beverly Hills or any restaurant in America has ever, the kids use the word, I don't know, hocked one up or...
You don't have to say hocked one up.
Well, you know, I can't make that claim. I it's impossible, but I will tell you this. I don't know of it. I'm telling you right now. I don't want to know about it. I don't want to see it. I sure as hell don't want to have a meal served to me that somebody did that in. Unless, of course, I had made them angry, or I had, for instance, if I had said I'm going to cut your pay or I'm going to fire you right after your shift, then I fully expect that they would do something. And generally, my after-work meal, I always order up one of our steaks, probably a baseball steak, and I have a Caesar salad. And if I had fired someone, and as they're, and I said, but you can stay on to the end of your shift, and, oh, yeah, go get me some dinner, are you kidding? I would expect that they would do something in the food.
And would you eat it?
But I would have to. If I ordered it, yes.
So you're going to willingly eat the meal? Boy, I tell you.
Well, you do not understand my business, and I don't think you understand very well how difficult it is for a lot of these young servers.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number. Let me get to a phone call here on the line. Linda, go ahead, Linda. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell.
Hi. I waitress, and I would have never, ever thought of doing that. I wasn't paid well. I wasn't tipped well. And I think that the thing on tipping with being, if you give good service, you get a tip.
But times have changed.
My sister-in-law worked at a restaurant, and there was a mandatory gratuity.
Just be Benadirit, okay?
Okay, and she didn't know that she was going to be taxed on that mandatory gratuity, even though the customers in a small town in Alaska where we are, they don't tip. It's just not understood in a lot of areas. It's barely, it's hard enough when you go out like we did today for a hamburger, a club sandwich, and a Reuben, and paid $82. And
all right.
60 was the meal, and the 20 was the tip because my husband tips 20%. But he's a rarity.
Well, 20% on a $60 tab is $12, I hate to tell you, but
well,
okay.
He was more generous than that.
That's very generous of him, very generous.
But not everybody can afford it or can do that. But there are some restaurants that report the gratuity, whether the waitress or the server gets it or not. Because
Did you say that you were a food server at one time? Did you say you were a food server one time? All right. Now, I just want to say this. This is Ted Bell, okay? I own Ted's in Beverly Hills. I realize it's Alaska, but I will tell you this, that I don't know why they don't tip in Alaska, because I would think that Alaska would be a wonderful place to begin to tell the customer, hey, look, I work very hard. And,
not in rural Alaska. Maybe in Anchorage or Fairbanks or Juneau, but you go into a small community of 300 to 900 people, you're not going to get that.
Well, I don't know why you say that, because if you look at I don't know, but I'm gonna be really stupid now and say, if I go to a restaurant in a 300-person community in Alaska and I look at that waitress, I'll bet you anything, she's not a bathing beauty, and the threat of her doing something in my food, you better believe I'm going to tip.
I don't mean to be funny.
The
new standard.
I'm just being stupid. Well, but you know what I'm saying.
Well, I guess it will make me really think, and a lot of people really think, about the restaurant business and maybe kind of change a lot of habits. And that's not good for the restaurant business.
No, I mean,
if I had someone that I even suspected had a cold or a flu, they would not work a shift.
Well, these people have to work. They've got children. A lot of these women are single mothers.
I have family, too, and I've had to work odd jobs and all kinds of things.
But you don't want a waitress going on the job, Ted, and spitting. Do you want her giving this illness to people?
No, I don't, but what am I going to do? Oh, you stay home because I know you've got children to feed, but guess what? You stay home anyway. If she can go on the job and spit into a napkin and get some guy to cough up, pardon the pun.
If somebody has a cold and they work with the airlines and they're a ticket agent, they don't go to work.
You know what? Can I say something to you, ma'am? I've worked around a lot of entertainers. You sound exactly like Bea Benaderet, who was an old voiceover actor. She did the voice of Betty Rubble on the Flintstones. Have you ever thought about going into that work?
You would be fantastic. I'm retired. I'm going to be 64 years old this year. And I've worked multiple jobs, but I have never worked in any voiceover.
And I can tell you, if you get into the voiceover business, one thing you won't have to do is say, oh, I'm going to spit into your food unless because there's, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's great. But here's another
waitress.
I
wouldn't have to do that anyway. I have worked multiple jobs and multiple professions.
I don't know about it, but
all kinds of
I
places.
Just don't want to. If you worked for me, Linda, I would say you go ahead, you go, girl, you're great. And if you want to go ahead and fire, and I hate to say this, but the kids call it a nostril rocket. Is that what they call it?
Are you serious?
What?
Are you serious about that, man? You're going to have people do that into people's food?
No, I did not say I'd have that.
But you're saying you'd look the other way.
Okay,
what am I supposed
I'm going
to
say this.
God.
If I can interrupt you, gentlemen.
Go ahead, Linda. Go ahead.
Okay.
What am I supposed to do?
Ted, what you're supposed to
yes.
do is look out for your customer.
Oh,
your customer,
man.
If one customer finds out that one person
yeah.
actually did that,
yes.
you would not
yeah,
have.
That's the end of business. Linda, hang on the line here for a minute. I want to bring another customer, restaurant, the guy. Is this Lloyd?
Yes, sir.
Lloyd, you're on with not only Ted Bell, but Linda.
Linda, yes, Linda, how are you? This is Lloyd Bonafide.
Hi.
Hi. Phil, this man, Mr. Bell, I have eaten in restaurants my entire life. I'm a Korean War veteran. My wife and I enjoy going out to dinner. I take family members out to dinner. And I will make no bones about it. If a food server I suspected had spit or what have you in my food, I'd pick that. I would tear that place apart. And
what is that supposed to mean, sir?
I mean, I would tear your place apart. I'd start with the bar. I'd work my way into your dining room, and by the time I was done, you'd have no restaurant left. It would be garbage.
Well, that's just the anger of the situation. But
exactly.
With all of the viral diseases around, what's the difference in somebody who may have some kind of connection in their disease and somebody who has AIDS spitting in the food? It is a death threat.
I'm not particularly concerned with getting a disease because at my age, you know, I've got nothing left.
You know what?
What are you talking about?
I understand that, dear. But at my age, I want to go out in a like the tail of a comet. I want to go out with a fiery. And
so in other words, you'd want to rip my restaurant apart.
If you've got people firing nostril rockets or whatever it was that you said, you better believe it, sir. And trust me when I tell you. By the time Lloyd Bonafide walked out the front door of your restaurant, what would be behind me would be smoldering, glowing, and there'd be no roof.
Good God. Wow.
What is,
Phil, I just heard a terrorist threat on your radio show against my restaurant.
No, it was not. The man...
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I'm not a terrorist either.
No. The man was saying he was so angry at what would... I would be that angry, too. Linda, thank you. You're very kind for pointing out those things to us here on our show tonight. Thank you.
Okay.
877. Thank you, dear. 877-876. Phil is our number.
You see what I'm saying, Mr. Henry?
No, I want to say something, Phil. I've been sitting here listening for the last few minutes.
Go ahead.
All right. I have been listening to people saying to me that my policy that built Ted's of Beverly Hills. And let me tell you something, my friend. I built this place brick by brick. Board by board, nail by nail.
Yeah, and that's how I'll take it apart, too.
Hold on for a minute. Hold on.
I built this place, I'm going to say it again, brick by brick, board by board, nail by nail. If you think I'm going to endanger my business by allowing food servers to come in with every kind of disease, some of which could be, let's be honest, some of it could be the sexual diseases that you get on toilet seats. I don't know if that's true or not. You don't get sexual diseases on toilet seats. God! Hold on for a minute, sir. And I'm getting advice on STDs from who? I'm a Korean War veteran. Okay, you got me there.
Hold on for a minute. We got to take a break here. 877-876-PHIL. I'm taking advice on STDs from who? I'm a Korean War veteran. Okay, you got me there. Anyway, we'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-7445. And, we're talking about waiters and waitresses, one of whom was on her Facebook page saying that she would spit in people's food if she's ever stiffed a tip again. And she was fired. Fired by the Chili's restaurant chain here in California. World famous Phil Henry Show will be right back.
Truth is our bitch, The Phil Hendry Show.
Absolute nerve you have of saying that to me. Gentlemen, if you come to Ted's of Beverly Hills, it will be the greatest dining experience of your life. Everywhere you go, there is the threat that a waiter is going to do something to your food, is all I'm saying. All
right. Well, that I don't know is true.
Well, I'm a restaurateur. You can have your opinion. I know you're a customer, and you're entitled to your opinion, but I can tell you that I do everything that I can. I do everything in my power to make sure that our food servers don't spit in the food. But let me ask you a question. How do I ensure that they don't do that?
I can tell you how you ensure it. Every step of the way, you have eyes on those food servers. Every step of, and you hire people to take pride in their work, and they're not slobs, and they're not low-class scum, and they take great pride. You have a high-end restaurant.
Wait a minute. I don't need to be lectured on how to... I asked you a simple question.
You have a high-end restaurant. I would think that servers in a nice restaurant like that are proud to work there, are happy to work there, and are proud of the food they serve. You know, and
if they don't get tipped, if they're only making minimum wage, and they come into this so-called high-end restaurant, and they're getting stiffed morning, noon, and night, and they walk out of there with about as much money as they had walking in, and they don't know how they're going to eat from one day to the next, they don't know whether they're going to have socks to wear with those shoes, are they driving to work, are they hitchhiking to work? What am I going to do then if I got food servers that are hitchhiking in with shoes and no socks, no underwear? You know, in other words, Phil,
boy, I got to tell you something, man. Then you need to pay your people better.
Oh, my God. Didn't I just tell you that it's the tip is...
I can't imagine any restaurant that's so-called high-end like yours and people are getting stiffed morning, noon, and night on tips.
Well, my friend, you just haven't been... Well, you just don't...
I mean, to the volume that you've got people that are not... living properly. Let's go to a phone call here. We have Ryan. Go ahead, Ryan. You're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Ted Bell.
Hey, I was just going to say, I mean, if I walked into a restaurant and my family and I sat down to order, and I even got the slightest inclination that this person was threatening to spit in my food, or they were sick and they were coughing and spitting into napkins in front of me, I would talk to a manager and I would have that person removed from my table and had somebody else brought over. And if that didn't take care of the situation, then I would leave, and I would call the Better Business Bureau, because that is absolutely uncalled for.
I agree with that. What do you say, Ted?
Well, I don't blame the gentleman. I wouldn't want him fearing that someone's going to tamper with his food. But I don't think it's as easy as just noticing that someone is spitting into a handkerchief. I mean, there are a lot of different indications they're going to give you. What if they simply say, boy, it's hot today, and they absentmindedly wipe an armpit?
Yeah, but the point is, they're sending a message to this man, right?
Well, I mean, they're basically...
That's ridiculous.
Sir, you know, if you tip well, then you shouldn't
have nothing to do with it. If I get good service, I will give a good tip. If I don't, I'll give them 10%.
Well, I understand
that.
It has
nothing to do with whether they're going to spit in my food or not, because you're gonna tip off of what the server does.
Well, that is in theory, yes, in theory. But you would be surprised.
No, legit.
As I said, I've got
the bottom line.
Well, maybe with you. But I have to say, I have no other
American.
Sir, I have to tell you, no, that's not true. You can serve you can do the greatest job as a food server, and sometimes you get a lousy tip or no tip at all. That's just the way people are.
Yeah, there's
now,
always
you're a good man.
Out
I
there, but
yes,
for the majority
all right,
of Americans.
And so, how do you change
you're
that?
You're going to take out the frustrations off of somebody that did not tip right. You're going to spit in people's food that would tip right?
No.
How do you expect
no,
to tip from
no,
them?
No, no. I do not want them to do that. What I can't do anything
but
about,
condoning.
And that I don't necessarily.
Oh, it's going to happen, so
well,
I'm just going to let it happen.
I'm simply saying this. I'm saying that a
right
food
now,
server
bro,
should be
never
allowed the freedom.
A restaurant because
the food
it sounds like you
be...
run a great shift there, let me tell you.
No, you're misunderstanding. The food server should be allowed to send whatever message they want to send.
And
yeah, but if they're sending the message in your restaurant that, watch out, pal, because I may spit in your food.
Well, how do you know?
You just got done saying they're going to wipe their...
If your server were to send any kind of message, they were going to spit in my wife's food, you better believe it. I would get up and I would lay them on their back because I'm not going to put up with that. And then I would come to you, and if you didn't take care of that situation, you'd be finding yourself picking yourself up off the floor because I'm not going to put up with it.
Sir,
if I had to go to jail over it, I don't care.
Sir, the only way that you would get any indication that someone would spit in your wife's food, that would have to be one of our male servers, and the way they telegraph that is they look down their shirt as if it's too hot, you know? And
wait a minute, you're giving this guy the signals?
I've seen, yeah, male servers.
He probably teaches this stuff in his restaurant.
No, I do not. I'm just telling you, I'm aware of what it is, right? No, sir. I'm aware of what food... Food servers are going to live the lives they're going to live. They are their own people. They party together. You know those people. I mean, they're young.
No, I don't.
And they do their thing.
Right?
Well, they're very young people, and they like to make sure they get tipped well. Sometimes they go to the... My male servers will put their hand down their pants or down their shirt or something like that.
I'm not going to have a food server at my table putting his hand down his pants.
Do that around my face. I dare you.
That's what I'm saying, the signal. If you want to know what the signals are, I'm giving them to you. If he's going to spit in your kid's food, the hand goes in the pan.
Phil, I can't believe you even had
this. Oh, come on, man. Why would you? Hey, Ted, you've got a restaurant. You do a really good business. Why would you talk this way?
I'm trying to let the guy know. God, I can't do anything right. I try to tell you what's up.
Obviously.
You guys are mad at me.
So, in other words, if a guy sticks his hand down his pants while he is taking my order, he will spit in my kid's food.
If you don't tip.
No, if he puts his hand down his pants in front of my kids, in front of my wife, he's a dead man.
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's up to you. But I'm just saying, that's him saying to you.
You're telling me that your male servers are over there putting their hands down their pants in front of customers?
No, sir.
A bunch of pervs?
No, I am not, sir. I'm saying that the signal generally, if they're going to spit into the kids' food, is they make like they're going down into their pants. They don't put their hand down in their pants.
What in the world?
You know something? It's a bizarre.
Is he living in America? Is he on planet Earth?
Yes, sir. Beverly Hills, California. That's about as much as planet Earth.
Well.
All right. Listen, thank you very much, sir, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Appreciate everybody's call. It's our News and Information Hour coming up next. Lots to cover. Thank you, Ted.
Yeah, whatever. That's another wasted night. Now people are going to come into my restaurant just to see the food servers and stick their hands down their pants and go, hey, there it is. You know.
Well, it could be worth a little tourist money.
On second thought, come on down to Ted's Beverly Hills. You can see our food servers put their...
All right, anyway, we'll be back. Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry.
And...
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Hello, Phil Hendry Show here, and we're already into Tuesday, so that's kind of cool. So Monday's over, Tuesday's here, and officially Tuesday here on the West Coast, but I know on the East Coast you guys have been well into your Tuesday for a while, and we're here until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Every night, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're at 877-876-PHIL, and we're also online at philhendryshow.com. With a backstage pass, you can access over a decade's worth of audio, as well as our nightly video casts. We have a video archive. We have a five-day video archive. We also have a year's worth of video casts from our Saturday night show. Lots of stuff. I mean, it's all about the media. It's all about the audio, and it's all about, in some cases, our video casts at philhendryshow.com. Within a few short weeks, we are going to be fully... functional for all Apple products, that is the iPad and the iPhone. So our on-demand media, whether it is audio or video, you'll be able to access on your mobile device, your iPhone or on your iPad, whatever it is you're using, your Apple product. We're very happy to report that to you. And we've got some other exciting stuff that we'll be talking about as we move forward. Robert Leonard is with us here. Bud Dickman in our News and Information Hour. You guys have a good weekend?
Yeah, I had a pretty good weekend. Yeah, it was pretty good, except for the fact that I didn't do anything other than just sat and drank, you know, beer and everything.
sat around and drank beer, huh? That's more than I do. So
yeah, come over sometime.
I wouldn't mind coming over to your house to drink beer, bud. Picking my way across the living room to a seat, you know.
Why'd you clean that place up, man? You know how much you just get a cleaning person to clean up?
Why don't you do it?
What?
Clean your own house up, man.
Why, you got a cleaning person?
I got a cleaning person, yeah. Apparently I can afford it. You can't?
Well, not really.
Okay, well then why don't you clean your own house up?
Yeah, you can clean up your own house. And that way you can sit and find a place sitting on the little garbage. Well, yeah, but your aunt does that.
Well, then you got to do it, man. You can't afford it. You don't have an aunt doing it for you. You got to do it.
You know, where am I going to start with that, man? It's got to be at least 2 years of garbage.
Wow, man.
Man, clean that place up, man. Yeah, but where did I start?
I got a great idea. Here's how you start. Get a hefty bag. Walk in there with that bag. Fill it up. Then take it out and set it on the curb next. And keep on doing that until there's no garbage.
Now, easy for you to say.
God, bud, we're going to have to find a... I'm going to have to come over there and take a look. Maybe I can give you a hand. Maybe we'll just get a front-end loader or a Bobcat or something and just go in there and maybe we ought to just destroy the house.
There's an idea.
Yeah. All right, here we have this news story. Very interesting and also weird. There's got to be more to it than this. Check this out. Three teachers supervising a field trip were aware that an eighth grade student was about to eat moose poop and did nothing to stop it, according to a Canadian school official. Thank God this was in Canada. Not that, you know, I wish any ill on Canada. I just like a little bit of the stupid news to come from someplace else for a change. The girl did so, reportedly getting it stuck in her braces and vomiting, according to Canada's Winnipeg Free Press. At least one other boy ate the droppings as well. You're hearing this, folks. This happened. Both teens had been told the poop was chocolate-covered almonds. Sounds like a really good joke if you're a mental deficient. If you are stuck at the age of six with your sense of humor. If, in other words, you're just an idiot. It sounds like a pretty good joke. But for 99.999% of the human race, it's only an indication of some serious personality disorder. Let's find out just exactly what it is, if in fact the Canadians figured it out. Scott Zwaninska, superintendent of the Lord Selkirk School District in Manitoba.
That sounds pretty high class. I wouldn't be saying they are no class. Well, it doesn't make any difference what it's called, man.
Why do you think it's high class?
Because it's called Lord Selkirk and everything.
So? So what, man? What, you don't think they can pull off something like having a kid eat moose poop because the place is called Lord Selkirk?
I'm just saying it's high class down there. Don't make any difference, man. They might be the lowest class people living there. Then why do they call it Lord Kirk or whatever it's called?
Lord Selkirk. It was named after some guy that was a lord, man. Doesn't necessarily mean that they name a place after a lord. The people that are going to move there are going to be high class. They named it after the guy because I guess he was some kind of a special guy, you know.
What'd he do?
I don't know what he did.
You got to determine that before you do the story.
What are you talking about, man? What? It don't make no difference.
Yeah, talk much.
Hey, come on. But you know something? You start stuff for the stupidest reasons, man.
What?
Well, it's called Lord Selkirk. There must be high-class people. Maybe you got the story wrong.
Just thinking. I'm just trying to think outside of a box.
Yeah, think outside of a box. How about outside the box? Good point.
What's the difference?
One is the box that we all know about. The other, a box. Who knows what ball game you're playing in, man? Anyway,
I don't get it.
Fine, just let me finish the story here. Scott Kwasniewska, whatever the hell this guy's name is, superintendent of the Lord Selkirk School Division in Manitoba, Canada, said a parent chaperoning the canoe trip offered the students the droppings as a joke. A parent! Well, right there, what does that tell you? Oh my God, what kind of a moron? I can certainly confirm that a parent supervisor offered these moose droppings in the guise of a very poorly conceived joke. Karen Iofson, whose 13-year-old son was one of the students who ate the poop, said the parent offered the almonds from a sandwich baggie. Isn't that funny? He dug into a bag and popped one into his mouth. Eiffelson told CBC, as soon as it hit his mouth, somebody tells him, you just ate moose crap. And the whole group of people started laughing. I mean, I can indulge in the obvious stereotype that this is some rural section of Manitoba, Canada, which just about it most likely wins the prize for dumb. I mean, you think that the South, you think the American South, Canadians often look down their nose at the American South because it's to them it's very stereotypically American. But I can tell you, in my dealings in life, there ain't nothing quite life that quite like the dumb you get from the good, wide-open wheat fields of Manitoba.
Yeah, I don't imagine that, man. Well, what do you mean? A lot of farmers and stuff?
It does got nothing to do with farmers. It's just the dumb that you get from the good old, wide-open wheat fields, man. Look, it stands to reason. What do the people up there do? When they're not bringing in the wheat, they're beating each other's brains in with hockey sticks. They're losing teeth. What? Look at them, man. They're walking around, no teeth. They got like a scar across their face from taking a hockey stick across it. Some guy raked a skate across the other half of his face. And a guy looks like Frankenstein with the brains to match.
Frankenstein wasn't dumb.
He wasn't, huh? Wasn't he the guy that lit his thumb in Young Frankenstein?
That's not the real Frankenstein. That was a joke one.
Oh, okay. That was a joke Frankenstein. So the real Frankenstein did what?
Real Frankenstein smoked a cigar. Yeah, and ate soup and everything.
Well, he must be a brain surgeon then. In any event, he dug into this bag, and then everybody starts laughing when this little kid eats this moose poop. When the little boy ran to wash out his mouth, a 13-year-old female classmate who didn't witness the incident was tricked into doing the same thing. So this brain surgeon adult didn't do it once, they did it twice. Two children! By that point, all three teachers were aware of what was happening but didn't intervene, according to Kwanzanitsa. He didn't identify the teachers by name or title, but Eiffelson said one was actually the school principal. There's got to be something we're missing in this story. Both students received medical attention to be treated for possible bacterial infection. God, no kidding, man. How about some tetanus shots? How about some polio vaccine? Anything you got. Kwanzanitsa wouldn't discuss what disciplinary action was handed down to the teachers involved, but said it all were at school Wednesday and have not been fired. The man behind the prank was not the parent of a student on the trip and will not be volunteering for the school again. That just blows me away, man. Just blows me away. You know, there's no way that guy wouldn't get a visit from me. I know what you're saying. Oh, it's easy to say. If that's your child, there's no way the guy's not going to get a visit from me. And the parents of those kids that ate that moose crap, that's real funny. You know, they're going to go pay a visit to that guy. I wouldn't blame them.
Maybe it's just some dumbass.
Some dumbass? Well, that goes without saying. Who the hell are these parent chaperones anyway, man? I bet you anything, this is my analysis of this. This father, whoever he is, was raised in such a rural backwoods, not that rural and backwoods is dumb, but let's say rural backwoods and, oh yeah, also stupid environment, that eating moose crap was sort of funny, but it wasn't considered to be abusive, you know? And that maybe it was like a cute little prank you'd try on the kids to teach them not to eat moose crap, maybe.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Maybe the kids, when that guy grew up, they was eating moose crap all the time. Yeah, my thought was a baby roof. How many times you eat a baby roof and then go, oh, man, I ate a turd?
I've never done that.
You've never done that?
No, I've never eaten a baby roof and said, oh, man, I just ate a turd. Never. You know what the tip-off was?
What?
It tasted like a candy bar.
Well, yeah, okay, yeah, you got a point there.
Yeah, but still, it still didn't fake you out?
No, it didn't fake me out, you morons. How many times did I eat a baby Ruth?
But what about if they melted or something?
No, get out of here. I knew it wasn't a turd because it tasted like a candy bar.
Yeah, but isn't there a split second? You go, oh, no, I ate a turd.
No, there's never been a split second. Never, ever. Never. Baby Ruth looks like a baby Ruth. A turd, well, it looks like a turd. Wow. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. Here's a lady in South Florida. Where else? I believe it's South Florida, who wants to have the largest breasts in the world. She wants to have triple M. She's a mother. She's got like four kids. She wants to have the world record. She wants to be in the top, not the world record, she wants to be in the top five big-breasted models in the world. We'll talk about that because it's about breasts and it's about large breasts, so how can you ignore it? The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Lacey Wilde, I don't know if you know this or not, but if you are a kind of rock and roll chick or you're sort of a rock and roll slash adult actress kind of a chick, the best last name to have is Wilde with two D's.
Hey. Yeah, there are a lot of them call that.
Well, some of them got the name Liz Wilde. We know Liz. She's a great radio talent in Florida. That's a good name for Liz. Some women who take that, and take it, I don't mean born with it, but take that name, you know, give it up, all right? Like in the case of this mother, she's the mother of I don't know how many children, four, five kids. Her name is Lacey Wilde, and I got money that says that ain't her real name because there's two D's.
How do you usually spell it?
With one D.
Yeah, don't you even know that? Well, yeah, but it's also E too, right?
No, it ain't E.
Ah, ha, ha, you're just as dumb as me.
Well, we know that. W-I-L-D is how Wilde is spelled. Yes, the name is spelled sometimes with an E. Sometimes it's spelled without an E. It is a family name. I believe it's an old English name, but beside the point. Anyway, Lacey Wilde shows off her mammoth chest as she poses with her daughter, Tori, 17, in one of the pictures I thought we would have for you. I'll try to pull it up here on Phil TV in HD. This woman's chest is, it's triple M. But in point of fact, when I saw the photograph, it wasn't, it didn't, it wasn't, it was, you know.
It was big.
Yeah, it was big. I was going to say it wasn't completely abnormal looking, but then what, I don't really know what that looks like anymore. However, the, so anyway, Lacey Wilde, 44, has already had 12 breast enlargements, and her offspring, aged 5 to 27, are embarrassed by her top-heavy figure and want her to stop risking her health. However, the glamour model, real name Paula Simmons, actually you got a perfectly fine real name there, Paula, is determined to go under the knife once again. She said, if I have triple M implants, it will take me into the top five big-breasted models in the world. It will increase my fame and earning power considerably. I want to give my kids a good lifestyle because the triple M's ain't done it yet.
Yeah, man, how big they gotta be?
Your triple M's ain't giving your kids too much of a lifestyle right now. I mean, maybe it's just the fact that you, maybe the overall package is looking kind of, I don't know, oxen-like.
Dude, see, she looks like an ox?
I don't know, man. I mean, maybe, you know, she's got, they're big enough, ain't they? How big do they got to be? But she can't get a good lifestyle for her kids.
What do you do when you got big boobs?
Three guesses.
Well, I mean, besides, how much money are you going to pay?
I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know anything about that. Although, let's face it, you know, must be some kind of bread involved in that. I mean, having large breasts is important to an extent. Although, I will tell you this much. The fake breast, in other words, the enhanced breast, it's losing steam a little bit.
What are you talking about? Everybody knows big boobs is good.
Oh, is that right, bud? Well, let me tell you something. Big, quote, boobs may be good, but the enhanced boob, that's what I'm talking about.
You talking about like plastic surgery?
Yeah, he's talking about what are implants.
Yes, thank you. Boy, it took you guys long enough to get around to that one. Yes. The fact is, guys are not responding. Magazine buyers, magazine purchasers, whatever, the big enhanced boob just ain't getting it done. It's not exactly the draw that it was. I'm not saying that it doesn't still, you know, sell magazines, pictures, adult films, whatever, but it's losing a little steam. Anyway, that doesn't deter Lacey, or should I say Paula. She says her children are aged 27. That's Ivy. Silas is 24. Tori, 16. Michael, 15. Brandon, 10. And Genevieve is 5. They don't agree. They worry bigger implants will cause an infection that might kill her. Tori said, I don't want my mom to have her boobs made any bigger. I think she isn't really thinking about our opinions. What if she dies? Is she taking that into consideration, said these children. Now, these kids are, of course, underage, so you can't talk to them without the permission of the mom. And maybe mom is saying, you know, that's good. The kids are entitled to their opinion. Let's have it out. Let's hear it out. Let's see what they've got to say, and I'll still do what I want to do. Anyway, one of the kids said, does she really care that her kids could be left alone? Cosmetic surgeon Dr. Alberto Garrani agrees and warned Miss Wilde that she may be suffering from a syndrome called body dysmorphic disorder. It would be too dangerous for her to undergo more surgery. I would advise she reconsider and seek help for her surgery obsession. That's what that is.
What's that mean, though?
What?
The body's morphic.
Body dysmorphic syndrome, disorder, rather, is a disorder where you're not seeing yourself realistically, you know?
Like anorexia.
It's like anorexia in a way, yeah. There's a sort of, there's a view you have where you don't look the way you, to yourself, the way you really do. It's not like you're hallucinating. It's kind of like a delusional thing. Girls that have anorexia, actually, this happens to girls with young women or women with anorexia. They're skinny as hell. They don't see that. They see a woman that is probably, you know, verging on fat. And if they're to even eat an olive, they would immediately see some body change. They might even see the olive sitting in their stomach.
What?
I mean, what I'm saying is they don't see inside their stomach, but they sort of see a little bulge where the olive would be. It's not a hallucination. It's a delusional thing. It's something, I don't know how to describe it. I just, you know, it's like being able to fixate on a part of your body for a while and then seeing something, you know, making yourself believe that what's there is something else. I don't know.
Like maybe if you do that with the size of your penis.
Possibly. What are you trying to... Shut up.
I'm just kidding.
Right. So, anyway, but this doctor is a very responsible guy, and I think that this is the guy to listen to. He says, you know, before you go through any of the surgery, you know, get a grip here, lady. I mean, everybody else has been getting a grip.
Yeah, no kidding.
Shut up, will you?
It's funny.
God, man.
What's that all about? I was just laughing.
No, you weren't laughing. You were drawing attention to yourself.
How? Well...
God. All right. So anyway, to make a long story short, or make a long story longer, the former Las Vegas showgirl, though, she doesn't care what Dr. Gallerani says. Pound it, Doc. She's from Hollywood, Florida, and she is defiant, and she wants to add a 13th breast operation to her list, which also includes 2 tummy tucks, 4 full-body liposuctions, abdominal sculpting, bottom implants, and 2 bottom lifts.
Butt lift?
Yes, butt lifts. She said, I'm more determined than ever to have this surgery and make my dreams a reality to help my kids have a great life. Even though my children are scared to death, I'm going to die. All right, Lacey, we wish you the best, but I mean, seriously, you know, it's like a mental illness or something. And then, of course, I want to meet the plastic surgeon that's going to do the operation. You just heard one doctor say that there could be a dysfunctional thing going on there. You know that the children are worried. Is there a plastic surgeon with the lack of ethics to do the surgery? 877-876-7445, world-famous Phil Henry Show. Thank you. Yeah!
Phil Henry.
Welcome back here to the World Famous Phil Henry Show. We just were looking online and we were showing to our viewers on Phil TV and HD this Lacey Wilds and the breasts that she's got. The breasts she has right now look to be, you know, she's, how do I put this? And I mean this kindly. I actually mean this as a compliment. She's got the body of a nice body of a 44-year-old woman, which is essentially this. It's a woman's body. It's a beautiful body. It's not skinny. But she's, you know, she's not some skinny runway model. She's a woman, and she's got these big breasts. Okay. I don't know how much bigger she needs them to be.
What about that other lady?
Those, if those breasts, they've got some women on these pictures. The breasts are so big, they look like freaks, man. Is that what you want to look like? You want to look like some freak? So they're really huge, whatever. I mean, they probably feel like basketballs. I mean, with fully inflated basketballs. You know, in other words, there's not any suppleness, nothing, not soft at all, just these big freak breasts. And so you walk around looking like a freak of nature. And maybe there's some guys, I'd say any guy that finds that attractive, there's something wrong with him. I'm telling you right now.
Well, you can't say that, man. You already said you're an ass man.
Wait, hold on for a minute. That's got nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, you don't understand what it is to like the big boob.
Wait a minute. Just because I'm a ass man, as you put it, that's got nothing to do with it, man. Even if a chick had an oversized ass or something, like it was abnormally big, you know, like through surgery or even through what I think is the case with a lot of these pictures, some photographic effect or photoshopping, that's not attractive either. You want a woman to look like a woman, for God's sake. You don't want to look like she comes from Mars, you know. Some of these chicks, man, they got all this plastic surgery. They got a nose that looks like it comes, it might as well be a nose on the face of some alien. They got breasts that make them look like they're a circus freak. They got a waist that's so small they look like a circus freak. The whole thing comes off very unattractive. It's ugly. It's scary looking.
So you'd say no to a woman like that?
Yeah, I'd say no to a woman like that. Of course, I haven't never met one.
Yeah, see, you might say yes.
Well, yes to what?
But I have sex.
No, man, no. No, I wouldn't. Why? Oh, hell, I don't know.
Yeah, see?
All right, well, at least I'm being honest, okay? But I'm telling you right now, looking at them the way they are with the photographs, forget it. Forget it. All right, so speaking of, you know, formerly big and maybe getting bigger, but not in my case, this is now, so it's got nothing really to do with what we were saying, but I'm trying to tie it in. Okay, here it is. We're talking about someone who is big but wants to get bigger. We're talking now, let's shift gears to talk about a guy that was big but is getting smaller, and that's me.
Yay!
Thank you. So I got on the scale. As I told you guys, when I got back from Florida, before I left for Florida, I was 253 pounds. That was the first week in June. I went to Florida. I was 253. Let's start out. I was at 289 March 19th. That's when I started my diet. My 2,000 calories a day, come hell or high water, don't ever go over, never, ever, 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 never. If you go over, you got to go out and work the calories off, diet. On March 19th, I was 289 pounds. I just had a doctor's appointment last week, and the doc said to me, you're actually 291, Phil. I said, okay, you're the doctor. I thought I was 289. And I went to Florida early this month, and I was at 253. So that's a pretty good, that's a nice weight loss. That is 30, you know, when I went to Florida, I'd lost 36 pounds at the beginning of June. Now, went to Florida, and I said, you know, I'm down here, I'm away from home, what the hell, there's great seafood, there's good restaurants, I'm not going to sit here and what am I going to do, eat rabbit food and everybody else is having a nice steak or whatever, it ain't going to happen, man. So I dug into some nice seafood, the seafood combo, you know.
But the guy in Mexico said seafood combo.
Yeah, that was a guy on the beach in Mexico.
Is that what he said?
He was a guy in Mexico. He's going, seafood combo.
It was funny the first time you told it.
Well, I'm sorry it ain't funny this time. So anyway, so I had a nice time, and I decided, knowing that the metabolism of your body, sometimes you need to shake it up. You can slow your metabolism down when you're dieting. Your metabolism slows down because the body begins to retain that fat. The body doesn't know why all this weight is being lost. It's assuming that it needs to retain some energy, some fat, because perhaps there's a famine going on. Perhaps there's some illness that's robbing the body. And so your metabolism does slow down to retain this. So sometimes you need to shake it up again. So that was my thinking, and I went to Florida and came home.
But you weighed when you came home.
I didn't weigh myself. Now, that's what you see. Now, just hold on. I didn't weigh myself. I knew that if I weighed myself, I'd get depressed because I might have put on some weight. I didn't want to look at the scales at all until last week. And so I got back on my diet, and last week was whatever the hell it was, the 18th, something like that. Got on the scale, and sure enough, I had not gained any weight, but I hadn't lost any. So I was still around 252, 253. That told me one thing. I must have gained some weight when I was in Florida, you know?
Yeah, man, you must have gained a lot of weight in Florida.
I don't know. This week, however, I'm very happy to report, having gotten off the scale this week, 247.
That's 6 pounds from last week?
Well, I mean, no, not necessarily, because here's what I'm thinking. It depends when you weigh yourself, and if you don't weigh yourself the same time all the time, if the body is not in the relatively the same condition, then there's going to be some fluctuations. I don't think I was necessarily 253 last week. I might have been maybe 250, but who knows, you know. There might have been some water in my system, water retention.
Maybe I need to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, sure. Whatever that was.
Yeah, I'm probably carrying around about 3 pounds.
Will you shut up? So in any event...
Trying to help.
Yeah. So in any event, got on a scale, 247. So I'll take that, man. So we're almost at the end of the month here. And let's just call 247 the weight. I started this diet on March the 19th at 289. Let's call it 289. So April, May, June. 3 months from 289 to 247 is 42 pounds. And that's roughly three goes into the thing of 14 set to two. What is that, man?
About 13 pounds. 3 times 3 is 9, 3 to 1. Yeah, about 13, 14 pounds.
About 13 and a half, 13 and a third pounds per month. Not bad. As a matter of fact, it's almost like I was on a 15-pound-a-month schedule, and I think maybe going back to Florida and kind of blowing out the diet a little bit. But that's pretty good. And we're back on track, you know, where we ought to be. And my hope is, and as I told you guys this when I first started this thing, my hope is that by my birthday, and I don't necessarily think I'm going to make it, but that's the goal. By my birthday, which is September the 1st, I'm down to my weight, the weight that I was normally at in my 20s, which is like 200 pounds, 210, you know.
Well, when you're 20, you said you was 190.
Yeah, when I was in my early 20s. Well, God, there was one point there where I lost so much weight when I was working. I was music director down in Miami. I was 145 pounds, 6 foot, man. You imagine how skinny that is? And that was a long time ago. But if I can get it down to 210, I will be a happy man. And I don't know.
Well, you got to figure out 13 more pounds next month. 47, hold on, about 33, 34, then another. Yeah, wait, here's the calculator.
Don't get it in my face. How many times am I going to tell you? Now, if you do 2 more months, let's see, next month, July, August, that's only 26 pounds, man. That's only going to be, it'll be close. It'll be about 220-something.
Yeah, you'll be about 10 pounds off.
10, 15 pounds off, yeah. So it'll take another month, whatever. But I'm happy to report that that I'm back on schedule, man, you know.
You shouldn't eat anymore.
Well, and then the other thing that happened last week, we took the night off and went to Allison Reynolds' birthday party. And she didn't have birthday cake, but they had birthday cupcakes. And I avoided them all night long. I didn't have any. And I finally, after midnight, I just couldn't take it any longer, and I had a cupcake. I figured, what the hell, man? It's somebody's birthday party. I had a cupcake. And so I started getting that. This is what I was saying about anorexia, you know.
What, you think you put on all this weight?
I did. It's like you can get into that mindset a little bit. You can go, oh, my God, I just ate a cupcake. You start to think you're like, you can say I'm fatter somehow, you know.
On account of one cupcake? Man, you got to be nuts.
Yeah, you got to be nuts. You're absolutely right. You got to be nuts. You really got to have something, you know, it's a devastating disease. Devastating disease. Which is a very interesting thing. And this is a statistic that I got. It doesn't tie in, but the percentage of people in the population with anorexia is somewhere in the neighborhood of 2 to 3% of the population, of the world. Is it the world or is it of America? I think it's the world. The population of the world, somewhere with anorexia, somewhere in the neighborhood of 2 to 3%. And we're fixated on that. and we have magazine articles about it, and we take our kids to the doctor at the mere slightest sign of it, and we worry about our wives or our husbands if we think they have it, and we are obsessed with anorexia. There's never a month goes by in some bloody magazine somewhere, health, women's magazine, something about, oh, well, now what's that anorexia, okay? That's 2 to 3%. Now listen, 3 to 4% of the population, a higher percentage of the population, 3 to 4% is psychopathic. That means they are without conscience. They operate in the world with only one interest, and that is their own self-interest. They have no ability to feel for other people. They have no ability to be concerned. They have no conscience, per se. They are just out for their own self-aggrandizement, their self-worth. They are out for themselves. All right? It's a scary mind condition. I don't even call it a disease. It's an abnormal mind condition called psychopathy. 3 to 4% more people than people that have anorexia, and yet where do you see the articles about that? Nowhere. Nowhere. You want to know why?
No, nobody knows about it.
No, I don't think that's it. I think we're scared to death of it. I don't think we know how to talk about it. And you know, and there's nothing to be really afraid of. It's being aware of it. You just got to be aware. We talk about what happened on Wall Street and why did all of the banks go under and why were certain business decisions made. A lot of it, not you know, I'm not saying 99,000,000% of it, but all you need is one freaking psychopathic business person or Wall Street trader or one person who doesn't have any far-ranging consciousness about anything other than what he is going to immediately enrich him or herself. All you need is one of those people, man, in the chain of business deals and decisions to start a catastrophic domino effect that causes a bank to go under. So we know that 3 to 4% more people than have anorexia have this kind of abnormal mindset, and we know that they can wreak havoc in a business world. And I'm not talking about people that are murderous psychopaths. We're not talking about sadistic psychopaths. We're talking about dishonest people who don't care, man. And you can sit them down and say, now, Charlie, you know what you did, right? Yes, you stole that money. I did. Okay. You know, it hurts a lot of people. Yeah. He'll tell you anything you want to hear. Yes, yeah. You know that hurt a lot of people. Yeah, I'm aware of that. I'm aware of that now. I didn't know it when I did it. That's a lie. He just didn't give us sweet you-know-what. And you know that we can't have you doing that anymore. Yeah, I understand that completely. Right. So I'm going to have to fire you. All right, now when you say that, the guy's like, whatever. So his bullcrap didn't work. He's going out the door, and he's thinking, you're just a chump and a sucker, and you fired him, and now he's going to go out, and he's going to make it up to himself. He just lost his job. He's going to get into another situation, and he's really going to rock and roll this time. That sucker just fired me. How dare he fire me? He doesn't get it, man, that what he just did is drove that bank right into the toilet. All he knows is that guy fired him. There's a million other guys that are, and here's what makes a psychopath. He thinks that everybody else is doing exactly what he's doing. He just has the honesty to be aware of it.
Oh, he thinks everybody else is psycho.
He doesn't see himself as a psychopath. He thinks that's the way the world is, but everybody else is lying about it. So when he gets fired and he leaves that building, he says, how dare that guy fire me? That sucker knows he's doing the same thing I'm doing. It's nuts. Not all people come around, man. It's like we were saying on the pre-show one time. Some doctors think that it's a regressive kind of gene, that it's a regressive DNA that at one time was needed by the human race. We needed this ability to not have emotion about things. We needed to be cold-hearted because maybe it was a tougher time. Maybe it was a time when you had to take lives and you had to do a lot of things that we just wouldn't do now. And it's sort of this regressive thing that pops up periodically in generations, like blue eyes, bald head, I don't know, not as common.
So what if you had blue eyes and a bald head and you was a psychopathica, you know?
Psychopathica. Psychopathy. I can't even pronounce it.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be right back. I got to take a break because I was just told to break regardless because my engineer is a psychopath. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. No, he isn't. He's looking out for the betterment of all mankind.
Truth, yeah, whatever. He's our bitch.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Psychopathy. What?
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
So I just a little note for anybody listening in the Los Angeles area, or if you're going to be in the LA area on July the 22nd, I'm very pleased to say that I'll be on stage with the fine people at ASCAT. That's the ASCAT Improv Group that works out of the Upright Citizens Brigade's LA Theater. And that's on Franklin. And on the 22nd, I'll be on stage with the ASCAT Improvising Actors. And really what it is just monologuing. You tell four stories, and the actors then improv scenes off of the stories that are told. So I'll sort of like be...
You'll be the storyteller.
I'll be the storyteller, exactly. And that will be on the 22nd of July. And I went out last night, and I saw them, and they're terribly talented and funny as hell. And I was the oldest guy in the crowd. I couldn't believe this, man. I mean, just nobody in that audience was anywhere near my age, man.
Now, what were they?
Everybody was in their 20s. Maybe the oldest was maybe late 30s, early 40s. But I remember thinking it was odd because one of the contestants, there's a part of the show where they bring two contestants up on the stage. And one of the contestants was a young lady, and she identified people in the audience because one of the things they had to do was to pick out people in the audience that they thought would have a certain answer. And she would say things like, the Asian guy, you know.
Talk about what? Talk about an Asian guy. It's one guy.
Yeah, but she'd say the Asian guy. And then when she looked at me, she said, I don't think I'm not going to call on the old guy because I'm sure he knows the definition of the word. At one point, they were looking for the definition of a word. So there was the Asian guy, and then I was the old guy. Now, if you looked at this young lady, and she were in the audience, let's say I was on stage, there's no way that I'm going to point at her and say, let's go to the fat girl.
Are you kidding me, man?
She was. You know, but there's no way I would ever say that.
Would you say that as an Asian guy?
Yeah, I probably would. I don't know. I mean, let's just say that mindset. I have to be honest with you. I try to avoid that in real life. I try not to stereotype people in real life. Like when I'm out on the air, of course, I do it all the time, you know, for whatever effect. If it's funny, great. I don't care. Just to get some kind of a reaction out of the audience, I could give a damn.
Even if they commit suicide as a result.
Even if, yes. So anyway, but I would never do that. But here she was. Oh, I think the Asian guy, I want to talk about that Asian guy. And then there was kind of a swarthy Middle Eastern looking dude at one point. And I think she said something like, yeah, the Iranian looking guy. And then Phil, you know, I had my hand up because they asked, how many of you have blah, blah, blah? So you'd either raise your hand or put your hand down. And I had my hand up. And this was for the definition of a word. And she says, I'm not going to ask the old guy. I'm not going to ask the Asian guy. And I'm staring right at her, and she's the fat girl, you know.
Yeah, well, you can't say fat girl.
I know you can't say fat girl. And I wouldn't say fat girl. But I thought to myself, why can't I? You know?
What are you talking about? You'd be a pig.
Maybe, but let's just hold on for a minute. Asian guy, it's okay. Old guy, it's okay. Because those are adequate descriptions, right?
Yeah, that's what they is. Or, I mean, excuse me, that's what they are.
That's what they is. Or that's what they are. All right. So isn't she fat?
Well, I mean, you can't say it, though.
Why not?
Because it's sexism.
No, it ain't sexism, dude. Why can't I? If she says there's an Asian guy there, which she did say, she says there's the old guy there, which she did say, why wouldn't we be able to turn around and say, oh, let's go to the fat girl?
Because you can't.
Well, the correct answer is you should, by all logic, and even in terms of the level of taste being used, you should be able to do that. I should have been able to say, oh, the fat girl, the old guy, the Asian guy, the black guy, the skinny guy, the guy with the small penis.
How'd you know that?
I'm kidding. But you can't. So there you go. So I'm just saying that I held my tongue because I'm a gentleman. Otherwise, if she would have said, the old guy, yes, fat girl. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry. And, of course, we're available online at philhendryshow.com. Why did I just cut the audio on our feed? I don't know. I'm stupid. But it's back on. And don't forget to go to our website, philhendryshow.com. That's where you can get yourself a backstage pass and enjoy live streaming video of our show, as well as all of those marvelous archives, as well as all of the video archives, as all of all just the marvelousness of it all. Until tonight, let there be a lesson.
Phil Hendry.